Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
We've been watching the development in the United States, and we want to chat to Brooks Spector. He's the associate editor at Daily Maverick. He's a retired American diplomat. And really, the point of the conversation is to understand, is to look at two aspects. What does it mean now that we know that the Democrats have taken the Senate, the Republicans have taken the House? How does, what's the practical implication of that? And then we want to talk about Donald Trump, because that's fascinating, where we see his daughter stepping away. We're not seeing a lot of support. What does this really mean? Brooks, a very good morning to you. Fascinating times, isn't it?
Good morning. Good to be with you. That was a song that made my throat hurt.
Yeah, it does. But that means you were singing along, which is great.
No, I was waving my conductor's baton with you, you know.
Brilliant. All right.
No, so, I mean, the election has captured, you know, it's captured my attention for days and days. I'm happy to be past that one milestone, but as you quite correctly point out, there's a whole road of milestones ahead.
Mm-hmm. So what does it mean practically now? Because can you just explain to those of us who aren't immersed in this, the difference between the Senate and the House? What does that mean practically?
Well, I mean, when they set up the government back in the 1780s, the original idea was that the Senate would have two members from each state. They would be wiser, older, thoughtful individuals. This is really before the beginnings, actually, of political parties. And they had six-year terms, so they could consider things with a long grasp of history and thinking to the future. So, in effect, because one-third is elected every 2 years,
so that
there's a complete turnover in theory every 6 years, unless people get reelected, it would be as if there was a vision of today's feeling, yesterday's feeling, and a week ago's feeling on a matter. So
right.
There would be a chance to deliberate rather than simply decide in the midst of hot tempers and so forth. And the House of Representatives represents constituencies based on population. So a small state would have two or three members. A big state in current circumstances would have upwards of 50, like California, which in the run of things would be the sixth largest nation in the world economically and a large population as well. And they're elected every 2 years.
Right.
So the end result is, at any midterm election like we just went through, the entire House of Representatives body, all 435 of them, are either up for election if there's a vacancy, or re-election if the incumbent chooses to try to gain a second term or a third or a 15th term or whatever it might be. And the end result is, because the legislative power of the country is divided between the two houses, the House of Representatives, because it represents the population more directly, has the first say on appropriations and government budgets.
So that is potentially quite a it sets the president up for conflict if the House and it doesn't come from his party, is not part of his
that
party.
That was the point I was going to get to,
right,
Howard. The challenge is for somebody like Joe Biden, who presents himself as a man who has learned to work with his opposition over 30-some years in
right,
the Congress himself, and 8 years as vice president, Mr. Compromise, Mr. Ability to get along with the other side. And it presents both a challenge and an opportunity, because you are in some way saying, look, the needs of the nation supersede any one particular party's more partisan interests.
Right.
We have to have a budget for the government.
Absolutely.
We can't not have a budget.
Right.
We have to have an army, because otherwise we're in rather deeper trouble. The Senate, on the other hand, is responsible first and foremost for confirming any and all ambassadors, heads of cabinet departments, federal judicial appointments, by virtue of their being older, theoretically, wiser, more sagacious individuals.
Right.
Now, it doesn't always work that way. You get
sure,
crazy people in the Senate, you get wise people in the House of Representatives, but that's you know, that's kind of the theoretical thing.
Right. Okay. So that's where it's at currently. Then we have this announcement by Donald Trump, which is very interesting because a lot of his support base, the New York Post, even Fox to some extent New York Post has decimated, absolutely decimated Donald Trump over these elections. He stands up. It's very clear from the mutterings within the Republican Party that there's not unanimous support for him. His own daughter is not getting involved, where she was very active in his last campaign. There's almost the sense that this is a man going at it alone.
Well, what did Marx say? Not Karl. I mean, not Groucho, but the other one, Karl.
Yes, maybe it should have been Groucho. Yeah.
Yeah, I stepped on my own line.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. History repeats first as tragedy and then as farce. Now we're entering the farce phase, it would appear. Because for somebody like the Donald, who has this overweening sense of self-worth and self-importance and, you know, I am the only one who can fix things personality, he's decided, against the advice of
everybody,
many different people, not to do this again. And for him to be told, remember, you lost the House of Representatives and the Senate in 2018, you lost the election in 2020, and you lost the Senate yet again in 2022, and your party just barely got through it on the House. And a lot of the governor candidates that you endorsed, they didn't do so well either. It's time for you to sit back, read the newspaper, enjoy the sun in your twilight years, and let younger people, the next generation, carry on with your struggles, your choices, your whatever.
Do you think I'm just conscious of time. Yeah.
He took nobody's advice.
Yeah. Do you think that the party will be strong enough not to put him forward as their candidate?
Well, the problem comes because you don't win because the party bosses, such as they are, pick a candidate. You have this whole series of what sometimes feels like an unending process of primaries. And in primary elections, the people who are really committed to an idea, who are outrageously partisan or are one issue voters, they're the ones who end up voting in primaries.
In other words, anything can happen.
Yeah, it's still a large roll of the dice. But I would bet, I mean, just, you know, as an outsider looking in carefully and chatting with people in the U.S. and on all the rest, that there are so many other more youthful, vigorous, thoughtful Republican potential candidates that he may well get overwhelmed by the competition. On the other hand, he has this core of people
who support him.
30% of the Republican Party supporters who are in his corner almost regardless, dead or alive, you know, whatever.
They're
with him to death.
Yeah. That's absolutely fascinating. Brooks, I'm sorry, we do need to leave it there. It's a conversation that I would love to continue, but unfortunately we can't. They need me out of studio. It is a 9 o'clock. Brooks Bechter, the associate editor at Daily Maverick, a retired American diplomat, giving us a very, very interesting perspective, both on the current election, or just the past election, and the future with regard to Donald Trump.